The Atlanta Braves lose a series for the first time this year. The ugly, the hated, the villainous New York Mets come in, take two of three from your hometown baseball team, including a 16-4 blowout Thursday afternoon at Truist Park. It was not the cleanest series. It was not the best series. In fact, it was a pretty sour series, especially coming home from the park on Thursday. What do we like? What do we dislike? What are we expecting to see this weekend from the Marlins? You'll hear about it coming up here on the Braves Report. From the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, this is the Braves Report, presented by Kroger, the podcast that takes you inside the clubhouse and gives you the stories behind the score. I'm Barrett Salee, hanging out in the heart of Braves country, and it was a very disappointed Braves country Thursday afternoon. Like I said, 16-4, falling to the Mets. Alan Winans getting his, I guess, one shot. Maybe he'll get another shot at that fifth starter role after Spencer Strider's elbow injury. Didn't work out so well for Alan Winans. Five innings, eight hits, six earned runs, two walks, one strikeout, one homer, and a lot of sloppiness. Honestly, that line doesn't do it justice. He wasn't fooling anybody out there. And there is some good and there's some bad, and we'll go over all of that. We'll dissect Alan Winans' start more than you could possibly imagine on this show, because there are a lot of different angles to take on it. But with that said, you still had two hits from Ozzie. You still got some production up and down the lineup. Ozuna took two walks. You know, there's at least they scratched, they clawed. Chadwick Trump had a big day, got the Braves going there in the fifth when things looked like they were going to get sideways. So there's some bad things, some good things, and we're going to go over all of them. If this is your first time listening to us, welcome aboard, and make sure you follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. And let's explore a world of cooking with Kroger Chef Jr. Join us at your local Kroger, where the Kroger chefs will teach your kids how to make fun and tasty recipes. Saturday, April 13th and 20th, your kids can learn how to make a festive Earth Day fruit snack. Each Kroger Chef Jr. is a 30-minute class where your child receives an apron and a patch, chef's hat, recipe card, and holder with a whisk for only $7 per child. Register your time period today at KrogerChefJr.com. All right, a game like this on Thursday, I don't know anybody going into that game that thought we have to have it. We have to win the series from the Mets. It is a must win. Yeah, it's the Mets, and certainly we all want to win those rivalry games, but it's a little unrealistic to think that, yeah, suddenly Winans is going to turn into Cy Young out there, and certainly he didn't. But and Snit talked about this, the fact that you were able to get through it with relatively minimal damage to your bullpen and your roster in general was a very important piece of this puzzle. And here's Brian Snitker from the post-game press conference talking about looking at it from a long-term point of view instead of a short-term point of view.
But our eye is always going to be on the long haul here, the long, long season. I mean, we've done it for as long as I've been here. You know, I mean, it's just, you have to look ahead. You got to look at the whole thing, the extra days rest when you can, all that. And staying away from relievers at some point in time. And it's just part of getting through 162 games.
Look, getting through five is huge for Alan Winans. It's huge for the Braves that he was able to get through five innings. Dylan Lee looked good in the first, in the sixth, then things fell apart in the seventh. Matzik, things fell apart, things got sideways. Fine, I get it. But relatively speaking, especially since there was a rainout on Wednesday, the bullpen is still in pretty good shape as the Braves head south to Miami. And Snit talked a little bit about some things that he did, that Alan did well, and some things that he didn't. And pay attention to the things he said and the way he praised his spot starter.
I told him, too. I said, you know what? The circumstances were out of your control. You could have easily left this game down 4-0 after five and you know, with a chance to, you know, whatever, you know, and he kind of settled in, and he hadn't pitched in a while either. You know, it's a tough ask for these guys, and we ask them to come up and be length and then start them, and they get out of the routine, and they're all great about how they handle the whole thing. And like I say, once he got settled in them last couple of innings, you know, I was talking to Trump even, and he said, you know, he's starting to get his feel again. So, but he competed and battled, and, you know, so it's didn't go his way, our way, but you know what? He gave us five innings. That was huge.
And look, you have to admire a confident pitcher, right? Confidence is everything in life. Not arrogance, but if you're good at what you do, it's okay to show that you have confidence. And getting a major league start, in this case, his seventh major league start, is pretty darn good. So if you're confident in yourself, you should be. Even though Allen got shelled on Thursday, he still got there. And on Thursday, you look around and yeah, hard hit ball at Austin Riley could have been an error. They ruled it a hit. Arcia made an error. Michael Harris made an error. Things did not go his way early, and it just kind of spiraled out of control. With that said, the Braves spot starter was pretty happy, at least in terms of how he pitched at times, and recognized that, yeah, some breaks just didn't go his way.
I mean, I think that is one of those days where the box score doesn't really tell you the whole story about the game. Sometimes better to be lucky than good, and today I was a little bit unlucky. Tipped my cap to that lineup, and I think Stewart hit a ball below the zone over the fence. So, I mean, that's part of my game, keeping the ball below the zone. And then really the only pitch I didn't like was the slider to Alvarez that was hit for the double. That was the only pitch I really didn't really feel like I wanted back other than that.
You just want to duck into your locker.
Yeah.
So now the question is, where do the Braves go from here? Because I think there is absolutely trust that Reynaldo Lopez can lock down that fourth spot for a pretty significant period of time. Maybe not forever, maybe not for 200 innings, but his two starts have inspired a lot of confidence. On the other hand, we got to find somewhere, somebody to take that fifth slot. I don't expect Allen Wynans to get another shot at it. I do think they will set up Smith Shawver, set up Bryce Elder, set up whoever to come up here and kind of rotate through them. Use this as an audition. Allen failed this audition. There's no doubt about that. I don't care what kind of bad luck he had. He failed this audition. But there's still time to make up for it. He probably will get another start at some point. I don't expect it to be next week in Houston. I would imagine the first man up after him will be Bryce Elder and then Smith Shawver. And then you keep just rolling through him to see what works. But the fact that he got through five still matters. It still matters. However, Snit talked a little bit after the game on kind of his plan and pay special interest to how he sort of frames the time length of this experiment.
It's, you know what, we're still processing that whole thing. You know, it's, you know, starting tomorrow, we can start using guys. You know, we can use our rostered guys. So it's, you know, we're going to have to figure out a way. We got a big hole to fill. And it's probably going to be done by a number of different people. So for now, I mean, and so hopefully at some point we get settled into, you know, that fifth spot in the rotation. So all these guys are in play. All these guys are going to be discussed. To see kind of where they're at on their throw days and things like that.
You know, I'm old enough to remember when the Braves were one of three teams in Major League Baseball without an error. That was less than a week ago. Now, things are not looking good, at least what we saw on Thursday. Riley got eaten up by a shot. Now, granted, it was ruled a hit. I think we've all seen Austin Riley enough to know that he should be able to make great plays look routine. And that's one that he normally gets. And of course, you had the Arcia error, which extended that inning, the second inning, and then the Harris error, which I the wind was bad, guys. And if you were out there, you know that especially up in that jet stream, it was odd. The Matt Olson triple, that was a bomb that got knocked down by wind. It was a bomb that got knocked down by Wynn and went off the wall. So I don't blame Michael Harris for maybe misplaying it. It's just not something we see every day. It's just not something that we see from Michael Harris, and same with Orlando Arcia. But is it a sign of things to come? I don't know. I don't see it. I don't think that it's a sign of things to come. The Braves defense is as consistent as the Sunrise, or has been up to that point. And why should there be any expectation that it'll change now? Here's Brian Snitker on specifically the defensive problems that sort of plagued the Braves in the series finale.
There wasn't anything real routine about any of those plays. I mean, the balls on the ground weren't routine ground balls. That ball in the air in center fields, that's a tough play for a center fielder. I mean, and it happens. You know what? It happens. It's over the course of 6 months, everything's not going to be perfect. Just never is.
Disappointment? Yes. There's no doubt. This was a big disappointment. I'm not necessarily happy with the fact that you didn't keep the starters on normal rest and that everybody got pushed back. I understand why Snit did it. I probably wouldn't have, but that's why he makes the big bucks. But a lot of baseball left. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And like Snit said in the postgame presser, this is a marathon, not a sprint. You have to manage a game in a way that protects your team down the home stretch. And if he was to pull Alan Winans' third inning, it could have been a lot worse long term. You could have too much strain on your relievers in early September rather than late September. And I think it was clear that Snit just said, "Son, go take one for the team." And he did. So that's a bright spot. And one small little bright spot on an otherwise rainy, miserable, windy day at Truist Park. We'll take a break. We will talk to Jordan McPherson of the Miami Herald, preview the Marlins series coming up on the other side. From the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, this is the Braves Report, presented by Kroger.
When you're looking for leading cardiac treatment, look to Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with 5 emergency cardiac care centers, so we're here when you need us most. We lead with more than 55 locations in Georgia. That means we're always in the heart of your neighborhood. We lead with clarity, because clear direction is better when it comes to understanding every step of your treatment. Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with heart.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Braves Report, and we are pleased to be joined now by Jordan McPherson, covering the Miami Marlins. See, I'm old. I still say Florida Marlins. For the Miami Herald, at J_McPherson1126 on the Twitter/X machine. Jordan, what's going on?
How you doing, Barry?
Doing well, man. Doing well. It's been a fun couple weeks here in Atlanta. I would imagine it's been a little frustrating watching the team that you cover, the Marlins. Overall, it's baseball season, right? How can we complain?
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, 2 weeks into the season, obviously 2-11 is far from what the Marlins were hoping for this season, especially coming off the playoff berth last year. But this team, I mean, I've been saying it a few times over the last couple weeks, they're better than 2-11. They're not a World Series type team. They're a team where during spring training, I thought if everything went right, they could be a 500 team again like they were last year. But it's been a rough go these first 2 weeks, to say the least. But again, it's baseball. It's 2 weeks into the season. Let's see what happens from here.
So I guess this is going to be a 40,000 foot question. what the hell happened? What went wrong early on?
Yeah, it seems like every game they found a different way to lose. If the days that they're pitching going great, their bats are cold. The day that the bats are swinging, the pitching is just getting blown up. The bullpen up until these last couple games has just been erratic. Is probably still the biggest understatement I can say. They hadn't had a guy up until this past series with the Yankees who you can look at and go, we need three outs. I know I can definitely rely on this guy. But so it's been very just inconsistency up and down the board. They've also been, just to put it bluntly, god-awful against left-handed pitching, and they faced a lot of lefties to start the year and going to be facing two more when the Braves come down this weekend. So, yeah, they're last in the league in batting average and OPS against left-handed pitching right now. And the couple times they faced righties, again...
That seems bad.
Yeah, no, it's very bad. The couple times they faced righties, again, they got Stroman on Wednesday. They got Gibson their last game against St. Louis. Those are their two wins right now. So... when they're facing righties, they're feeling confident, but these, again, going up against southpaws, which they've done a lot this year, rough.
So, you know, looking back, obviously the injuries have been piling up from the starting rotation, really for what, the end of last season into this season. Long term, what does the rotation look like? If things stabilize now, which is asking a lot, I guess, in this day and age of modern day pitching. If things stabilize now, where should this staff rank among Major League Baseball teams moving forward throughout the course of the season? Can they last? Are they sustainable?
It's an interesting question just because there's so many unknowns. I mean, Braxton Garrett should be back soon. Edward Cabrera should be back soon. Max Meyer, who's been their most reliable guy, he's going to be on an innings limit. He just came back. He missed all of last year with Tommy John. This is his first real year. He wasn't supposed to be in the rotation. So to see what they do with him, especially if he keeps pitching like he has, will be interesting. I don't know if AJ Puck stays in the rotation full time once they're back at full strength. It's just he hasn't been able to give them the innings they need. Ryan Weathers will be interesting to see what they do with him. I mean, the only guy you know who's going to be the constant is Jesus Luzardo, because again, you don't have Sandy Alcantara, you don't have Eury Pérez. So they need Luzardo to be the ace. They need, once Braxton Garrett comes back, to be the guy who was the number two guy for them once Sandy went down. He started playoff game for them last year. If you can get the two of them to be your 1-2, if Max Meyer can be steady, and if Edward Cabrera can throw strikes, they have a good enough rotation to be in the top third. It's just the talent's there. It's just they're not proving. And that's been their biggest thing for them for the last couple of years now. It's the youth is there, the talent is there, but the experience is still to come.
Yeah, and Luzardo is still getting the strikeouts. You know, that's important. That's very important. So let's focus on the good, because last time out, getting the win over the Yanks, Jake Berger on his birthday, his 28th birthday, a 3-run homer, a guy that the Marlins are counting on to do big things, and that was a big time spot. He came through. You know, what should Braves fans expect? Because honestly, like being up here, I think a lot of us know Jake Berger, but don't really know how good he can be. What should the expectation for him be this series? And, you know, long-term, what kind of player do you expect him to be 2, 3, 4 years down the line?
Yeah, just watching him once the Marlins got him after the trade deadline last year, he really just, you saw a new guy. He was, when he was with the White Sox, it was hit a bunch of home runs, strike out a bunch, yep. Nothing else otherwise. Once he got to the Marlins with their hitting staff, Brant Brown, who's now with the Seattle Mariners, John Mabry, Jason Hart, they've figured out the way to balance things where he's still hitting line drives, he's still getting extra base hits, but he's not just chasing the power. He's learned to hit for average while still getting doubles, getting home runs, and learning how to be a disciplined hitter and just looking for the pitch to hit, not just swinging for the fence every single time. And we're seeing that continue this year. He already has 15 RBI, 3 home runs, handful of extra base hits. He's the guy who... basically, so far through the first 2 weeks, if you're in the Marlins, were in a key situation, he's the guy they wanted up to bat. He's got 15 ribbies this year, leading the team. I believe it's through the Yankees game yesterday, he was tied for the MLB lead in RBI. He's a guy who, and he's so young, this is really only his second full MLB season. Yep. So if he can keep on that trajectory, he's got all-star potential as a hitter. The defense are still figuring out. He's playing third, he's bouncing between third and first. But if he can just stay league average, even slightly below league average defensively with his bat, he's the sky's the limit for him.
So one thing popped early the season, everything seemed to go bad, but Skip Schumacher, the Marlins voided his option, which it seems weird to me. Like to do it the first week of the season, I mean, it's odd. How does that affect the clubhouse? And just kind of take us through the whole process in which they, you know, determine that this is going to happen. What does it mean for the Marlins in the future? What does it mean for Skip in the future?
Yeah, so all of this, the stuff about his contract being void actually happened during the offseason. It happened basically not long after Kim Ang decided she wasn't coming back, when Bruce Sherman told her that they were going to hire a president of baseball operations above her. And when she said, "I'm out," Skip basically was like, "What's going to happen here?" He basically saw the writing on the wall that potentially things were not going to go well, where they bring somebody else in, a new voice, a new direction, and for lack of a better word, chance for a rebuild to happen. Skip didn't sign up for that. He signed up to work with, hand in hand with Kim Ang, to try to build something sustainable here. And as soon as Kim Ang was gone, his thoughts were essentially, hey, I need to do what I need to do to make sure that my future is secured. So it was a mutual thing between him and owner Bruce Sherman to void the club option for 2025. The Marlins would love for him to be back after next year. I highly doubt that happens. So, but things with Skip, he's so well revered and well regarded around Major League Baseball. He'll have job offers even after once the season's over. He'll definitely have something. So for him, I am not concerned that he's going to find something. For the Marlins to have to once again go through another change after basically that being their MO, it feels like every time after they do anything well, after every playoff appearance, it seems like something always happens. And this is just the latest step or the latest chapter in that with the Marlins.
Jordan, appreciate you hopping on. Well, it should be a fun series down there. You know, you never know what you're going to get with Miami. It's one of those teams that sometimes they jump up and bite the Braves when the Braves aren't expecting it. But appreciate you hopping on. Tell everybody where they can find you, both online and with the Miami Herald.
Yeah, so miamiherald.com/sports. And then, as you mentioned at the top, on Twitter/X/whatever we're calling it nowadays, J_McPherson1126.
Jordan, enjoy the weekend. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Barrett.
So we got a big series in Miami. Miami, as you just heard, pretty wretched in terms of a baseball team. But how many times have we seen bad baseball teams come in and catch fire at extremely unorthodox times? Hell, we just saw it with the Mets. We just saw it with the Mets. So I don't think the Braves will take these fish for granted. The lineup, the probables, set up for a sweep. And on the Friday show last week, I said that a sweep should be expected. Should we expect a sweep against the Marlins? I'm saying yes, but I'm not going to go to Las Vegas and throw a bunch of black chips on the table with extreme confidence. Max Fried versus Trevor Rogers. Trevor Rogers is a decent pitcher, and I don't know what we're going to get from Max Fried. If it's the last four innings, what we saw from him, great. The other two, not so great. I'm going back and forth on this. I'm going to say that Max is the guy we saw from the second inning on last time out, and hold my breath. So I think the Braves get that one. Chris Sale versus Max Meyer. Max Meyer has had a great start to the season. I'll take Chris Sale. That dude has been money both outings for the Atlanta Braves. Now, Charlie Morton versus Jesus Luzardo is interesting. Luzardo has been awful this season, but he can strike people out. And that is scary if the bats go cold. Do you trust Charlie Morton not to give up that three-run homer? Not to go an inning without being the stopper? The Braves get up four. Morton comes back and gives up three. I trust Charlie to do that, but that matchup, Jesus Luzardo versus Charlie Morton, should be really interesting on Sunday afternoon. We will wrap up the Marlins series and preview the coming week coming up on the Monday show. Thank you guys for listening. From the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, this was the Braves Report. And as always, presented by Kroger.
When you're looking for leading cardiac treatment, look to Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with 5 emergency cardiac care centers, so we're here when you need us most. We lead with more than 55 locations in Georgia. That means we're always in the heart of your neighborhood. We lead with clarity, because clear direction is better when it comes to understanding every step of your treatment. Northside Hospital Heart Institute. We lead with heart.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over 4 decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.